Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Be Still and Run. I am your host, Allie-Ann, and today I wanted to share a topic with you that has become a huge passion of mine, mainly because I've struggled with it for years and just recently been able to grasp how to fix it and how to gain power and freedom from it. And the area is our thoughts. And I wanted to look at it from the perspective of a thistle plant. Like when you're weeding, you know, you have all of the vegetables or the flowers and stuff that you don't want to pull up. And then you have those annoying thistle plants that sometimes you don't see until you try to pull them out. And then you're squeezing your finger because either the thistles got you or whatever. Obviously, you wouldn't be squeezing your finger for any other reason. But anyway, today, just really looking at the life of a thistle plant, and I was really studying it and just was very encouraged in, sorry, all these notifications are popping up and it's very annoying. All these characteristics of a thistle plant are very relatable in our thoughts, and it was just mind-blowing to be able to see that. And then recently I have been looking into how our thoughts play into how effective we are in our running, and I've been trying some things out and been getting huge results, and it's been very motivating, very encouraging, and I just wanted to share some of that with you guys. I will be having a blog post out next Monday, or this coming Monday, for you guys to be able to see all the characteristics of the thistle plant and then be able to look over a little bit of the notes. It's not a full out show note thing because I can't stand show notes. They're boring. So I decided to just make blog posts occasionally for the podcast. So I will leave the link down in the description below to the actual blog, and then that way you can go to it when it goes live, and that will be sometime on Monday, this coming Monday. So, without further ado, let's get right into the episode. So, gaining motivation to control our thoughts by looking at the life of a thistle plant. I realized this analogy, I don't know how many years ago it was, maybe two by now, but I was out weeding the strawberry bed and I came upon this big thistle patch that we had let go so long because there was hardly any strawberries in that area. And since we were kind of rushed during that season, we didn't really bother with weeding that part. But since planting season and everything had slowed down a little bit, we were able to get to the weeding. And so I started pulling out these thistles. Some of them were a foot tall. Some of them were really short. Some of them were like taller than me and, you know, flowering and everything. And I was really starting to annoy me as I was weeding because I would pull out a thistle and it would break off at the ground, or it would break off halfway, and it just started really to irritate me because I was like, they're going to come back again. It's like, there's no way to get it out of the ground now. And the more mature they were, the harder it was to get the full root out. So that frustrated me even more. But all of the shorter thistles, they really came up very easily. I got sometimes a foot of root to come out. Of course, our soil in that area is really good, so it is pretty thin, or not thin, but it is pretty loose soil, so those did come out easier because of that. But those were encouraging because I was like, yes, that thistle's not going to come back next year or come back this year or whatever. And every time one snapped off at the ground, I was just like, this frustration would hit me. And then God started to speak to me on how These thistles were like my thoughts. So the tall, mature ones are the ones that I struggle with on a daily basis. So thoughts, I can't remember what the thoughts were that I was struggling with with at that moment. But some of them were probably like, nobody really cares about me. I'm just in the way. Is life really worth living? Like, is there a purpose to life? Do I have a purpose? Okay, so this might have been like 3 years ago, actually. But anyway, then the little thistles, God was like, you know, these are more like the thoughts that have taken root because of the bigger thistles, because the seeds had to come somewhere. So those bigger thistles planted smaller ones. And he's like, these smaller ones are the ones that if you get while they're young, while they're early, when they just started growing in your mind, and you, and then it just, you realize, you're like, oh, this thought is not right. I need to take care of it. And if you take care of it right then, you know, you pull it out, and it may break off, it may not, but you're, the chances of you getting out the full root or it not coming back are going to be more likely if the plant is smaller and younger. So, during that particular weeding season, that's what God was showing me. And then a few weeks later, I went out to weed the same bed because I had never been able to finish the at the end. But I went back over the spot that I had done a few weeks earlier, and it shocked me what I found because I did not know thistles did this. And so I don't know if you've ever noticed it. It may not be every plant, but the particular plants that I saw, all of the big thistles that had been very mature, when I had broken them off at the ground, they had multiplied. So out of the same root of that big thistle had grown a ton of little thistles. So each thistle had multiplied to probably about five thistle plants. And that just made me realize, like, wow, if you don't get the root, when you take down that thought, it's going to multiply. It's going to get worse, because that's what we seem to do in life. If you think about it, if we don't take care of the root problem, we always wonder why the situation gets worse. So say you want to be on this diet, and you're like, I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to eat sugar. The more you think about the sugar, the more likely you are going to be to fail, because you're like thinking about, oh, the sugar is so good. And you may get through a week. You may even get through a month, but a month is normally when people will end their diets. If they don't have a particular why and they aren't really committed to that diet, normally after a month, people will stop. So you may get to a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, you may even get a little bit further. But eventually, by you constantly telling yourself, I am not going to eat the sugar or whatever, and if it's always in front of you, you're going to want it more and more, and eventually you're going to cave into it. And all of the cheating diets, those are a whole nother topic in itself. But just for this episode, just realize that the more mature your thoughts are, if you do not get the root out, you just chop it off at ground level, you get rid of the symptoms, it's going to grow back and it's going to multiply. And if you don't get them while they're young, like the multiplied ones, all of those plants are going to mature as well, and you're just going to have a bigger mess. So I was talking to a friend yesterday, and we both struggled with really like giving our desires to God about marriage and about wanting children someday. And since we're both older, she's older than I am, so it is a little bit more difficult for her. But I was trying to encourage her to just the more we try to get rid of the symptoms and not the root, the more we're going to focus on it. So, well, something that has been a game changer for me is to take those thoughts to God. When it says take your thoughts captive to God, that doesn't mean take them to Him and try to run away from them or just like try to ignore them. It means to actually take it to Him and talk to Him about it. Like say, hey God, this thought came up in my mind. Let's take let's continue with the marriage thing, for example. So girls that struggle with marriage, most of the time we either fantasize about it or we try to deny it and suppress it and try to just ignore it. And you very well know that does not work. So what I have noticed that is for me, it may not be for everybody, but for a majority of the people, if we can realize that taking our thoughts captive is going to God and dreaming with Him or talking to Him about the struggle or coming up with a game plan, I mean, you go to God and say, hey, I would love to be married someday. Like, can you just imagine what that would be like? I would so love to be able to go on a date with so-and-so, and wouldn't that be just cool? And I mean, seriously, just taking those thoughts to Him has, I can't even explain the freedom that has given me to be able to go and dream with Him and to be able to say, hey, this is what's on my heart. Wouldn't this just be neat? And sometimes as I'm talking to Him about it, people are like, is that really what you want? And I'm like, well, no, not really. I'd really rather have this. It's just this thought popped in my head and, you know, whatever. And so you start to realize, you know, what your flesh wants and what you really want. Because it's like, no, I don't really want to get to know so-and-so. I want to wait for the guy that you have for me. I have feelings for this guy and, you know, whatever. And then the same would go for food. I don't know why I use that. Probably because I've tried dieting so many times and it never works. But so if you're wanting sugar, seriously, like, go to God and be like, I would so love a sugar. And sometimes, like, just a little while ago, my mom made this awesome pineapple cake with, like, this nut glaze on top. Oh, it was so good. Well, it is good because there's still a little bit left. I actually just ate a piece before I came out. But my sister is getting married in a few months, and I'm like, I really would like to lose some weight before the wedding. And that thought crossed my mind as I reached for the piece of cake, and God was like, do you really want that? And I'm like, well, yes and no. And so I sort of talked to Him about it a little bit, and I ended up, instead of having a whole piece, I ended up, you know, like two bites or something, which, so it kind of, it satisfied that craving for the sugar, but it also, I didn't go overboard and like be a glutton about it. Well, then I did have two pieces later, or two bites later, so. But anyway, it might have ended up being a piece. But it was still the conversation process of talking with God and not stressing over it, because really that's why a lot of people gain weight, is because their body is in constant stress mode. And that's why dieting a lot of times don't work, is because you're constantly in a stress state because you're like freaked out. You can't eat this and you can't eat that, and you shouldn't be eating this. And it just, your body is like, goes into this survival mode to where it thinks it needs to hold on to everything you eat. So that's all a whole nother topic as well. I'm way going off board. But anyway, you can tell that those two subjects are kind of a passion of mine. But let me get my notes really here again. So I wanted to go over a few of the facts about thistles, and then sort of hopefully you can see the relation between the spiritual life, like your thoughts and everything. And just get some encouragement to and motivation to be able to start taking your thoughts to God in a different way than you have been. So facts about the thistle. I have plenty, so I'll try and go over these quick. So the prickles protect the plant from being eaten, or in this case being grabbed or torn down, easily or whatever. And if you think about that, when you have a thought that is not necessarily a good thought or that you shouldn't be dwelling on, it is prickly. If you don't grab it just right, I've actually learned how to grab the thistles, no matter how old they are, without hurting myself. So there is a way to do it. The prickles don't necessarily have to decide whether you tear up the thistle or not. But I also found it interesting how the drier the conditions, the spinier they are. And spinier means prickly, rough, ragged, not smooth, but irregular or uneven. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that is a really good example of our heart and our mind. Is it watered down by Jesus? Because Jesus is not just the bread of life, he's also the water springs in our heart. And I was like, that is so good, because the thistles are harder to get rid of, and they're spinier, and they're prickly, and makes them almost impossible to get rid of without like some kind of protective glove or whatever when it's dry. So that was very motivating for me to be like, okay, the more I can pour myself into Jesus and let the wellspring of life go through my heart, the easier it is going to be for me to not dwell on the thoughts that I don't necessarily want to be dwelling on. So also, this can be kind of discouraging, but completely eliminating thistle can actually take several years, because the thistles, let's see, how deep were they? I think they can get up to 6 feet deep. So the older they are and the more they have been in your life, the harder it is going to be to get rid of that thistle. You're definitely not going to be able to get rid of it overnight. But each plant, this was very interesting to me, each plant can hold up to 120,000 seeds per flower. So some thistles, if they are very mature, or if you chop off the flower head, they will actually come more up. But it's 120,000 per flower. So you could have over 200,000 on one plant. And if you let those seeds go, imagine what that is going to do to your mind. Of course, some of them are going to leave, because when a thistle plant, the seeds are spread by air mostly, so like the wind, but sometimes birds do. So it's, those seeds aren't going to all be left in your heart. Some of them will kind of blow away because you're either solid in your belief of God really loves you or whatever. So those, some of the seeds, if they land on that soil, it's not going to grow. And the thistle plant is one of the most persistent and stubborn plants, I'm assuming, in the world. I didn't write that down. But if you think about it, the thistle plant was created by God after the fall of man. He did not have those in the Garden of Eden. He created it as a consequence of our sin before God. And so that knowing that it is the most persistent and stubborn plant was created after sin. Sin is the most persistent and stubborn thing against God. And so that was very interesting to me. But let's see, what else was it? So some of the ways you can get rid of thistle plants is to hand pull the young plants before they're able to lay down any roots. So like I was saying before, the younger they are, the easier it is to pull them out, or you can even sometimes dig them out if you're really wanting that thistle out of that spot, you can always dig it out. But I've always imagined trying to dig out a 6-foot root of a a mature thistle plant. It like blows my mind because I imagine like this ginormous hole with like a backhoe or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, that's impossible. So that's always been a funny thought that goes through my mind when I think about this. So another thing that people do is you wet the soil first before pulling the plants out because it makes it more effective. So I don't know if you ever noticed, but in dry soil, it's very hard to pull out plants. Whereas if the soil is moist, not necessarily muddy, but if it's moist, it's like a good, has a good amount of water in it. It is so much easier to pull out those roots. And again, going back to Jesus being the wellspring of your heart. So the more of God's word you can get into your heart, the easier it is going to be to pull out those thistle plants. So also another way, which I have never had success with, but I've never really honestly tried it like really well. But using vinegar for the larger plants where the root has already taken hold is going to be your best option. So it's still not going to happen overnight. What I was seeing was they were recommending spraying it once a week until it completely dries out the plant, which I don't understand why it's only once a week. Why don't you spray it every day? I don't know. I didn't understand that part. But if you try it, let me know because I would love to know if it works. I'm not that into trying to get rid of any thistles. They're all where I don't care for, or I just pull them out when they're young. Because all of the thistle patches now we just mow. So be sure that if you use vinegar to spray the plant, you do not spray any plants that you do not want to kill. So this sort of reminded me of when in the Bible there's a parable. I'll have to put the reference down in the description, but there's a parable that the owner of the land went out and he told all of his workers to spread the good seed. So we'll just say it's wheat. They went out and planted all the wheat, and overnight the enemy came and he put a bunch of tare seeds out there. And when they started growing, the plants, the wheat, so did the tares. And all the workers came back in and was telling the owner of the land, they're like, should we go out and tear up all the tares, like the thistle? Or I'm assuming that's about the same thing. And the owner was like, no, if you tear up the thistle, you're gonna tear up the wheat. And just if you think about it in real life, or I have in my life, I don't know if you've ever sat down and thought about it, but there may be something bad in your life, but God always turns it into good as long as you are His child, as long as you have completely given your life to Christ, or at least you're working on it, because I think you're gonna have areas to surrender to God the rest of your life. But if you are truly desiring to serve God and have Him be the Lord of your life, then He promises to turn all of that into good. But that, just realizing that if you tear all of the bad out of your life right now, if God were to just come down and take it all away, how much root would there be left, or how much of the good plants would you have? Because if I were to think about it right now, if all of my problems were to be taken away right now, of course that would be wonderful. But how stable is my good habits going to be? They're going to be very spindly and weak because I wouldn't have to go through those trials, and trials is what makes you stronger. So that was something that came to my mind when I was thinking of that. Another thing is if there's any root left without killing it, it will still grow back. So just thinking about that is, I have this habit that really annoys me, but I was actually free from it for about 3 years. And I apparently just recently learned that the problem stems from a root that I gained somewhere. I still haven't figured out what the root is, but I'm assuming it's some kind of lie or belief in my heart that I need to get rid of. I need to allow the light of Christ to shine in, and I need to be able to let His word change me, and whatever that belief is, to be able to get rid of the root. And so then that way, once I'm free from it, it's not going to grow back. And I have some thoughts of what the lie could be, but I haven't really narrowed it down yet. So I'm just working on them all, which is probably a good thing. And also one more thought on thistle that after I studied it, that really was very encouraging to me is thistles. Okay, there was two, but thistles love good, moist, well-drained soil that has sun. So in my mind, I realized that the more I have of the better the soil is of my heart, the easier it is for anything to grow in it. I was thinking, my original thought was, oh, thistles love bad soil. They love, you know, hard, unfertile. But no, they actually love really good soil that is moist and has sun. And that actually kind of horrified me because I was like, wait a minute. So you're telling me that in relating thistles to my thoughts or my mind, the better I make my, the more I dwell on scripture, the easier it is also going to be for thistles to take root in my heart. So that was a really cool thing for me to be able to see. It was like, oh, so the rest of my life, the more I grow closer to God, I'm just going to have to start identifying those thistles when they're young and start taking them out so that they cannot get root, because it's not like the more you grow closer to God, the less likely you are going to sin or anything, because the more you are living your life with God, not for Him. I've seen people live for God and Satan leaves them alone because they're missing the whole relationship part of Christianity, which is what God originally sent Jesus on the earth to do. Jesus came to reconcile our relationship with God, and that is His priority. He doesn't want your works. He wants you. So just remember that the more you grow closer to God, the more Satan is going to attack you, because he knows that's what God wants. Satan knows that God wants you and not what you do. Of course, you can please God with what you do, but God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants a relationship with you. And so then what was also very interesting to me is that thistles are actually medicinal. I did not know that. So it shocked me. I sent it to my mom and I'm like, did you know thistles are medicinal? And they are actually a very important source for nectar. So, like the butterflies and I'm assuming hummingbirds and whatever else, the bees. I found that very interesting. I'm like, wait a minute. God created thistles after the fall, but yet He still turned it into good. Like, He still turned our curse, the curse of human kind. That was, other than pain in childbirth, it was the thistle. And He turned it into good. That to me was like, I was like, wow, like the one thing that you cursed the earth with, God still turned it into good. He made it medicinal, which I want to research that more personally, because I'm like, really? Like, who would want to eat thistle? But there are a lot of different kinds. I know we actually had grown blessed thistle because it's a medicinal herb. But I did not know that like the common thistle and a couple like Canadian, I think it's like the Canadian thistle or something, like all of those are, they're actually medicinal. People have used them. So I want to research that more, but I just thought that was really neat how God turned the curse into good. Like there's still good in it. And I'm like, huh, that's very interesting. So I don't know if you've ever noticed that in your own life, like maybe from the past, you can't really tell what the good is while you're in it. But maybe some things in your past, you, if you look back, you can realize what good came out of it. Like it made you stronger. It made you look to God more. It drew you closer to Him. And if you haven't noticed, that is God's goal. The reason He sent all of those problems to the Israelites was to draw them closer to Him. Every time they walked away from Him, He would lovingly, because He wanted a relationship with them, He would send plagues or whatever because He wanted their attention. He wanted them. I don't know if that would be a wise thing for humans to do if they wanted somebody's attention or somebody's love. But I feel like that would want to make me run from them. So I don't know how exactly to relate that part. It might be his jealousy. So like if you maybe look at more of the marriage component, I know some wives, if they notice their husband is not paying as much attention to them, that they will like start putting on more makeup or start doing something to draw their husband's attention back to them, especially if they might be, yeah, I'll just say it anyway, especially if the wife notices that maybe the guy looks at other women in a different way, then that will create jealousy in her heart, and she'll really try to draw the husband's attention to herself, whether she does it on purpose or not. I've seen and heard so many women that do that. And I don't know if they're doing it subconsciously or if they're doing it consciously, but if maybe if we look at the jealousy of God in that way, then it would be easier to understand. So, yeah, I really loved, I don't normally love researching something, but just looking at the thistle was very encouraging to me. So since we are talking about running with God on this podcast, I did want to bring up a couple things of some of the things God has been working on my thoughts in my training. And just recent or just yesterday, I was supposed to do 30 minutes of continuous running hills. So that I just found a hill and I just ran up and down it for 30 minutes straight after my warm up. And at the bottom of the hill when the 30 minutes was up, or no, at the top of the hill when the 30 minutes was up, I was like, when I get to the bottom of this hill, my reward is walking. I'm like, I get to walk. And it was like God smiled and He said, is that really your reward? Or would you like would the reward be to be able to think, I made it all the way home without stopping? Would that be a better reward? And is that really what you would rather have than the short spurt of walking at the bottom of the hill? And I'm like, well, absolutely. I'm like, yes, the reward would be so much more rewarding if I was able to continuously run back home. I think the hill was, it was about, so 2 miles. I had about 2 miles to get back home. Yeah, I was close to that. So just realizing, I was like, okay, when I get to the bottom of this hill, instead of thinking my reward is to stop, I'm going to think my reward, I'm going to imagine getting home and being excited that I actually just did that long on a hill with the warm up, or with like plus the warm up, and I did not stop. I my form was very hard to maintain on the way home, but I was able to make it. And I just it made me realize maybe I'm focusing on the wrong reward. Maybe I'm focusing in my training, I am focusing on the easy way out, on the very minimal of what I want, because I don't think that I can do more. So I know 80% of running is mental. Our bodies can do way more than we think it can. Obviously, you know, listening to your body and stopping when it needs to, because you do have to work up. But our bodies can do way more than our minds think we can. So, I mean, I've heard of people, if a car falls on their husband, I've heard of this lady lifting it up. I've heard of multiple other stories like that, to where these people gain crazy amounts of strength because of the adrenaline that rushes through their body. And of course, they do have consequences of that. Like, some people have pulled muscles, or I'm thinking some people have gotten hernias or maybe broken a bone. I don't know exactly, because I've heard so many different stories of it. But you do have the consequences of pushing yourself more. But your body, it's still the fact that your body can do more than you think it can. Obviously, if you're training, you don't want to push yourself that hard. Otherwise, you'll be out. You won't be training anymore. So just realizing, for me, I've realized that if I do not fight my desire to stop, if I just be like, oh yeah, it'd be nice to stop, and just let it go at that, I've noticed that I don't actually want to stop. It's just my brain and my flesh telling me it would be nice to stop right now, don't you think? And I mean, even you can simply be like, sure, yeah, it'd be nice. Well, don't talk to yourself. That would be weird. But sure, I'd love to stop, but that's not really what I want to do. I would prefer to keep going, finish my interval, finish my long run, just whatever. I've noticed that that has been amazing. Just like I was saying earlier with the wanting to get married, if you don't fight it and you just tell God about it and just dream with him, then you're not creating an idol, because you're talking to God. You can't have an idol over God if you're talking to him about it. Because you're focusing on him. You're just talking to him about something. So that has been something God has really been showing me recently, is what an idol is focusing on something more than God. So if you are constantly praying, then Satan wants you to think that that is an idol. But in reality, if you are constantly praying about it, which the more you prayed about it, the more peace God will give you, and you'll just stop thinking about it as much. But I've noticed that the more you pray about something and you actually allow the thoughts and take them to God and be like, this is what's going through my mind. You can even just say, like, is this right? Should I dwell on it? Should I not dwell on it? Should I do this? Should I not? And just letting it go at that, and letting him keep his promise. If he promises to lead you and he promises to correct you if you go the wrong way. You know, there's so many different, I mean, like, thoughts is a huge, the more I study about the thoughts, the more I realize how powerful they are. The way Dina Caster wrote her book, it has so many biblical principles in it. I would not advise you to read it if you do not know your Bible, because then it could start leading you into more of the modern New Age religion, Christianity, whatever you want to call it. But the just the biblical foundations of what she was doing with her thoughts, one of the huge ones that she did was gratefulness. I mean, that is becoming so popular nowadays because of how powerful gratefulness is and being thankful. It is a game changer And it completely transforms people's perspective of things, how much energy people have. I mean, it's surprising how much it changes. But some of the things she also was talking about was not dwelling on the negative thoughts. Of course, unbelievers and believers are going to be able to, they're going to have different perspectives on that because, I can't think of what I was saying. I saw a squirrel and totally threw me off. So not dwelling on a thought is going to be, it should be easier for a Christian because we have the Holy Spirit in us. But because we make it so complicated, because we think that we should be doing it differently, we think that we shouldn't have these thoughts because, oh, I'm a Christian, and how dare that thought enter my mind? Because we think that, it actually makes it harder for a Christian to control their thoughts. And I have been seeing so many programs and so many challenges and people making a fortune off of helping people control their thoughts, and they're not even Christians. That's what blows my mind. All of these people in the world are realizing how bitterness destroys somebody's life, and they're creating programs off of it to free people. Isn't that our job as followers of Christ? Isn't that what we should be telling people about? Why aren't we out there telling people about the freedom in Christ? Why are we letting all the unbelievers do it? Why are we, I mean, people are making a fortune off of doing what we should have already done. And they're not even leading the people to Christ, which is what should be happening. We're so consumed with, oh, I need to be a Christian, I need to be a follower of Christ, that we're so focused and consumed on ourselves and changing that has actually become an idol for Christians. We have been in idolatry because we're so focused on changing. We're so focused on the religion side of Christianity that we've completely lost sight of our first love. We've completely lost sight of God. We our heart intention of wanting to change is good, but we have taken it so far that it is completely destroying our lives and destroying our testimony and destroying the name of Christ because of our bitterness and our thoughts, just everything. It's completely being destroyed because we are so focused on becoming a better Christian. That it's so surprising to me. The more I watch the world, the more that I talk with unbelievers, the more biblical principles they live by than we do, because they realize that it works. And it just boggles my mind to think that why aren't we doing that? Why are we fighting so hard against our flesh and not allowing Christ to do the work in us instead? That's why I think that the idea of talking to God about our struggles and dreaming with Him is what can keep us from idolatry. We'll take bitterness, for example, since I mentioned it. If you talk to God about your bitterness, if you go to Him and you're like, hey, Jesus, I am really struggling with forgiving this person because they did this to me, they did this to me, they hurt me, and they keep doing it over and over again, and all of this stuff. At that moment, as you're talking to Him, that is not an idol. That's what Satan wants us to think, that if we are talking and thinking about it, that is an idol. But the idol is when we are thinking about it without God, because He cares for us. He tells us multiple times to come to Him and talk to Him and tell Him our struggles and pray and tell him our requests, tell him what we want, ask for stuff. He's constantly telling us that. And we don't. We're just like, oh God, I can handle it. I'll just try harder. And it's like, why are we doing this? Unbelievers don't. Unbelievers aren't like, oh, I'll just try harder. I'll just try harder to forgive this person. No, all the programs that are coming out are actually giving people freedom because they're just letting it go. They're talking about it with the people and they're just deciding to let go. Like, and then they gain that little bit of freedom and they're like, oh, what more can you give me? So I should probably end that there because I could go on forever. So I really hope this was an encouragement to you. I really hope you can see that idolatry in our thoughts control if we have idolatry. Our thoughts control what we're focused on. Our thoughts control what we do. Our thoughts control how much energy we have. Our thoughts control who we act like, how we act, what we do, who we become. Your thoughts are more in control of your life than you think they are. And all your thoughts is what plants the seeds. Are you planting more thistle seeds than you are good seeds? Are you allowing Christ to be the wellspring of your heart so that good seeds can take root? It's become a very passionate topic of mine to talk about. That's just because I've struggled with it so long. And over the last few years, I've just gained so much freedom from taking my thoughts to God, and it's not even really controlling them. God is supposed to be on the throne of our heart, and if we're trying to control, then we're the one on the throne. So it's not even taking our thoughts control, it's taking them captive to God. I can't remember what the verse says exactly. But it's taking our thoughts captive and then giving them to God. It's not controlling them or trying to spank them or put them in a prison or get rid of them or burn them or just whatever. We're not in control. When we take control, we're doing idolatry and we are setting ourselves on the throne because we're the ones in control. He wants us to come to him with our problems and leave them there. Let him take care of them. Dream with him. Tell him how bad something hurts or how painful something has been. And just ask him to heal you. Ask him to change you. I've gained more freedom in the last 3 years by doing this than I did for 10 years trying to control my thoughts. It's amazing how hard and complicated we make Christianity to be. Christianity is so simple. It's just living our life with God. It's walking beside him day by day. It's just living with him like you do your family. Or if you live by yourself, most likely you have a pet. Or if you have friends that you hang out with a lot, it's just living with them. You don't sit around and try to control everything in your life when you're living with somebody. I mean, if you did that, or if you try to do that, then you're probably a very miserable soul. But Christianity is supposed to be simple. It's that Paul was saying something about how he was praying for the Christians because he didn't want the simplicity of Christ to defile them. He didn't want people to make life harder than it really is. I mean, before Christ came, yeah, we had a bunch of laws and commands and rules that we had to follow in order to be, have a relationship with God and everything. But after Christ, he completely changed that. That's why it's called the New Testament. He completely got rid of all the rules. You don't have to follow the rules. All you have to do is live with God. And when you live with God, you want to follow the rules. You want to please him. Satan wants us to focus on, you want to please God, don't you? Well, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? And he'll just keep pointing his finger at stuff. And God's like, just come to me. Just, I want to talk with you. I want to have a relationship with you. And Satan's like, no, that's too easy. He wants you to do this and he wants you to do that. And he'll point out scriptures and be like, you should be doing this. And that's not what Jesus came to earth to do. He came to free us. That's what freedom in Christ is. Freedom in Christ is being able to go to God and let him work in you. It's the work of Christ in us. It's allowing him to get rid of the thistles. It's allowing him to plant the good seeds. But when those thoughts come, and they will come, and they'll come for the rest of your life, it's your choice whether you take control of them or whether you pick it up and you take it to God and be like, here, I need you to control this for me. It's a completely different mindset shift, but I guarantee if you start talking to God about everything and you start dreaming with him, if you're more of a fantasy type person rather than thinking on negativity, dreaming with him is huge. That's completely, I feel like my fantasies have diminished a lot more because I take them to God and it's like, there's something about it. They don't have control over my life if I'm trying to control them, which is ironic to think. So I really hope you found this encouraging today, and hopefully I didn't talk your ear off. I know I've been going for over 15 minutes now. So if you're still listening, I appreciate it and I will be praying for you. Feel free to reach out at any time if you need somebody to talk to, or if you need, if you want some encouragement, or if you just have questions that you want answered. I would love to help, because that has become something that I love doing because it's changed my life, and I really want to help other ladies be able to get free from this. So I will leave you guys until next month. My goal right now is to do a podcast a month, just because I'm working on publishing a book, and I'm also then writing another book that's actually on the simplicity of Christ, which I am so excited to get to you guys. Like, I'm comparing it to training for a race, so I can't write it until after my next race, which it's like, I'm like on pins and needles. Like, this book is going to be so much fun to write. So I've been taking a lot of notes throughout my training, and of course, some of these thistle thoughts will be in the book just because it's so important. So I love you guys, and I'm so glad that I was able to share this topic with you. Hopefully it didn't talk your ear off too much. So I will leave a link to the blog in case you want to be able to see the post when it comes out on Monday. And also, I will try and remember to leave the actual link to the post when, after it's published. I can't guarantee that I will remember, but I will try to. And I'll have to go back when I edit this and write down the references for you. And I'll put those in the description as well, and probably in the blog post at the bottom. But I really, I really think this is a very important topic and needs to be understood more, that controlling our thoughts is not our job. Our job is to capture them and take them to God. And Satan wants us to think that we are supposed to control our thoughts, when in reality, that's not the truth. He wants to twist the truth. He wants you to think that you have to control your thoughts. And as I've been experiencing lately, it doesn't work to try and control your thoughts. What works is acknowledging the thought, taking it to God, talking to Him about it, and then leaving it. And of course, if this is a thought that has been there for a long time, if it's a tall thistle, it's not going to go away right away. And as I said before, some of the thistles can take years to get rid of if the root is 6 feet underground. Unless you're gonna go get a backhoe and dig out one thistle plant that's 6 feet underground. I mean, I would imagine the hole would end up being 10 feet wide. And then think of all the good plants that you're going to be tearing up in the process. So just allow this season of getting rid of these thoughts to draw you closer to Christ, so that you can keep the good thoughts that are around you, that you can keep all the good benefits. Because remember, thistles are medicinal, and they are a very, very important source of nectar, which is very important in the plants to keep growing around us. So I love you guys, and I will see you next month.